हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके सूत्र 213 एतेन योगः प्रत्युक्तः. Yoga is refuted for the same reasons, meaning that the same reason that the Shankhya Smriti is refuted, based on that they have the idea that since their scripture is giving something different than the Veda should be interpreted according to their scripture, right? Because of their reverence for their acharya, which is a good thing, but not to the point where it doesn't match Shastra. That's how you know something's going wrong. Does that make sense? Because the point is guru will always be in line with the scriptures. So guru, shadu, and shastra will always be in line. So when the idea is that you don't have to follow that line because guru's greater than that or something, then there's some misunderstanding here. So for that reason, the yoga shastra is also, the principles of it that aren't useful are rejected. Right? Those parts that diverge from the Veda, those are rejected. That which is in line, that's fine. Because we have to remember is the yoga system is a system that's used for self-realization in Satya Yuga. So it's not that it doesn't have valid points to help you in your spiritual development as a secondary process. But only that which is in line with scriptures, that's then what has to be taken. And anything else, that's to be rejected. Yes?
So this makes it very difficult, actually, to understand, unless we know all the shastra, then which part is correct and which part is incorrect.
No, but we have what our acharyas have given us, so it just should be in line with that. Because that's the whole advantage of the parampara, is that then you're able to get the benefit of that whole process of what the Veda is saying by following the instructions of the acharyas. So for us, what Prabhupada gives us, that's then the understanding. Then we know it's in line with Shruti and Smriti.
But with us, sometimes we face the same kind of difficulties. Because then devotee, for example, gives Bhagavatam class.
Right.
What is the reference? What is the Brahmana? If it's his own speculation.
Oh, is it in line with what Prabhupada says? If it is, then you don't worry about it. And if it's not, then you worry about it.
Because many people say things Prabhupada didn't say. It's not from scripture or anything. It's just...
Well, is it what, you know, the mood of it, the intent of it, the purpose? Are they just giving a strange example or something? You know, they're quoting, what do you call it? I can't even remember his name. Yeah, you know, so as long as it's in line with in the same mood and intent as Prabhupada has given, it'll work. If it's an example, they're making a point or a principle of Krishna consciousness that's not in line with that, that's then a problem. But if it's just that they're using some unique example or something, you know, does that make sense? You know, they're quoting from Archimedes or something or like that. As long as it's in line with what the acharyas have said, then it works. But if they're trying to say is that, you know, the ultimate purpose is for the soul to merge into the Lord, you know, and that's real liberation, and so then you know something's wrong, because that's what the yoga shastra says, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah.
come back. When you say that the yoga system was done mainly in Satya Yoga,
yeah,
the yoga system is connected to Bhakti. Was used in Satya Yoga.
Means yoga is all religious processes are part of Bhakti. But unless it's done with that principal point of trying to please the Lord in bhakti, it's not counted as bhakti because it's a secondary means. You know, it's just like, let us say, just like this, for example. Let us say we have a frying pan. Okay? Now, that is a secondary means for cooking. It means cooking is the primary. The pot is what helps within that. Okay, now let's say we are, you know, just for to give the example, is that now if we're using that pot to cook for Krishna, then it's part of bhakti. But if we're using that same pot to not cook for Krishna, it's not part of bhakti. So that means all the religious principles that are there enunciated in the Vedas, those are all naturally part of bhakti. That's what they're for. But because people are materialists, they use these systems not for Krishna, because there aren't any other systems. Does that make sense? You know, it's like you go into the kitchen, there's not another kitchen. It's not like there's a devotional kitchen and there's a materialist kitchen and they use completely different things. Does that make sense? So it's the same kitchen. So that's the thing. All the religious principles are all the same. Studying scriptures, austerity, giving in charity, sacrifice, you know, brahmacharya, following the varnashram system. You understand? Like that. These are all there is. There isn't something more. Now you can use them in their natural form, in the natural way to please Krishna in bhakti. You can use them in their natural form not to please Krishna, but in karma and jnana. Or you can use them in a perverted form, not to please Krishna. And of course then we may ask, well, what about not using it as perverted form, but to please Krishna? Yes, you can do that, but that's called attachment. And if you don't give that up with time as you're purified, that then becomes niyamagraha. Right? It means you start from there. If you're from a sinful background, you start from your sinful background. But as you become purified, that you could now use the pious and you don't, that's niyamagraha. Right? So, in other words, let's say the child starts, grade one. That's fine. You can't complain, oh, it's only grade one. Right? But now when they get to the point where they could now do grade two, but they stay at grade one and claim that that's fine, that's their nature, that's where they started, that's natural for us. In fact, we're being more natural by being in grade one than all those people who are artificially going to grade two. This is niyamagraha. Because they could move on, but they're not because of attachment. Does that make sense? Yeah, so one has to be careful of those things. Yes?
Regarding this, and especially in spiritual matters, following guru who has wrong conclusions.
Right.
It's quite common, you can say.
Yeah, it's called, how you say? Dilhai Hindustani.
So, what would be like, say, convert followers or
you don't worry about that. You just worry that you're following and those who you in a sphere that you are able to have influence, then stick to that.
But in the field of knowledge we can influence that.
Means we're doing what we do, and if that has an influence or we're able to apply it to have an influence, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't worry about them if it's not an area you can work within. You know, in other words, everybody does their part, so you work in the part that you can work within.
Yeah.
Like that.
What's a sure way of telling that somebody's ready to go to grade two?
It's just a matter of if they can perform the activities of that. The point is you're doing so you naturally progress, so you could do that and make that a standard, but instead of doing that, you keep the lower standard.
But anybody could do anything. Like, what do you mean they could?
No, but what's the point? You know what I'm saying? You understand
because
here?
Somebody's going to argue. If I say that to somebody, they're going to argue that with me. So I want to know something.
Yes, but the point is that we have to know is that we have to understand here the mechanics that is being used.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. Not the point. The point's a good point. The point is that we can always argue anything just because we can argue.
Okay.
That has to be pointed out is that do they want to understand what's going on, or they just want to argue? That's the whole point.
So you just walk away from
it. That's their point. Is that, because, you know, when they start bringing out these really absurd kind of examples that they themselves have never and will never be exposed to, then you know that this is just for argument's sake. It's not actually they want to know. So then you just stop and say, is this something you want to know or not? You know, so that's just the way it goes.
So. About the rejecting those precepts of those paths, according to what our acharyas have taught, how to do that. Bhakti Santa Guru, his grammar guru, he taught him everything. At the point when he said that by studying Panini you will get liberation, he openly rejected him.
Yeah, because the point is that, as we said, mechanics are mechanics. So if the person is just showing the mechanics and not getting involved in anything else, that's fine. You can learn anything from anywhere, right? Gold can be taken from a dirty place. But if they start professing their wrong conclusions within the area, then that's when you have to decide whether, if that's going to be a consistent thing, then you have to find another source for finding that knowledge. Because the point is, you know, it's just like I've heard of devotees, you know, they grew up in a particular neighborhood and there was this one place they used to go and they cooked some fabulous preparation. And so when they grew up, they went back to the place and learned from the guy how to cook that. So as long as he's just teaching you the technique and that's it, but if he has a philosophy about it and it's going to get uncomfortable, then what's the point? Right? Does that make sense? So the whole idea is that you can learn things from different people, but they're only teaching the secondary aspect. We always have to know is the secondary has to be applied practically, and it's an application of practical. What's the attitude? Therefore, that's what actual result you're going to get. It means the knowledge itself will get you the specific mechanical result, but what effect that result will have on you and others is dependent upon the attitude. So in other words, if you can catch the knowledge without the attitude, then and it's something necessary or valuable, then you take that. But if it's going to come with the attitude, then better you don't have it at all. Because the point is you don't have to be in knowledge a scholar to actually know more than the scholars. You have to know Krishna, because if you know Krishna, you know everything. And we mean that literally. It doesn't mean all the facts and figures, because we're taking it, knowing means the secondary. No, knowing means the primary. And if you have secondary knowledge, then that just gives you a particular way that you can present it or different things like that. But it is not actually the major point. It means you'll use it, but it doesn't matter. You know, it's just like you put petrol into the car through the hose. But you could also put it into the car through a jerry can and a funnel. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't need the hose. It doesn't need the jerry can. It just needs to get into the car. You know, if you want to use a straw and then spit it in, you could do that also. You know what I'm saying? Or if you have more money, get someone else to do that. Right? You know, like that, you know. Does that make sense? So the whole point is that it is used, but it's not dependent. That's the point. The primary is independent. Krishna's independent. He's not dependent upon our conditioning and therefore the religious processes that we are able to perform to, Bhakti doesn't require that. We engage that. That's the meaning of dovetailing. We call it dovetailing because it's not the actual thing, but it can be engaged. Right? Mother Jashoda is not dovetailing. We are. Right? Because we're taking conditioned nature that's not our spiritual nature, and so we're taking that and dovetailing it in Krishna's service. But Mother Jashoda, her rati for Krishna and the nature he has is non-different. Therefore, there's no need of dovetailing. Does that make sense? So, when we're doing this process of dovetailing, we have to understand that that's what it is. The dovetail is not glorious in itself. Right? That we have knowledge, that we're able to engage it, that's not the glory. That we're connecting to Krishna, that's the glory. That's why it doesn't matter what you're connecting. Somebody's very intelligent, somebody's not, it doesn't matter. But you know Krishna, then you know everything. And we mean that literally, because that's what all knowledge is striving for, is what's going on, what's the reason, what's the purpose, what's life, what all these disciplines are striving for. But if you know Krishna, you already know that. You already know the conclusion. You understand? But we're so enamored by the secondary, we think it's the quality of the secondary that makes the primary. Yes, if I have better pots and pans, I can cook better. No, it makes it easier. But you can't say, no cook will say, that makes a better cook. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so...
And about Jagdish Prabhu's question, that how do you trust that this is coming from this thing?
You have to see, is that you're reading Prabhupada's books, is it in line with what you've read? Not necessarily the detail, but the principle, the mood of it.
So, I've heard you say many times that you profess a bogus philosophy, you get 100 times the reaction, and I did not find it in the scripture, but I trusted you, so...
That's Manu.
Yeah. So I discovered in Manu 12.115 that this is it.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Manu makes the point. Because the thing is you follow something bogus according to your own mental concoction for yourself, okay, that's bad. You'll get the reaction. But it's your reaction. But when you profess it to others and then they take it up, you get more.
Similarly, with Chanakya begins his Chanakya Niti by saying, I've taken everything from scriptures.
Yeah. No, he's just taken the Dharma Shastras. And because so many are being lost and all that, then he's saying, and that was 2,500 years ago, he's saying it's being lost. You know, so he then gives that essence to put it all together into Arthashastra.
Find Sanskrit from Manusamhita, this exact same shloka is repeating.
Yeah, also you see Prabhupada, there's so many verses that he says that we're familiar with that they're directly Manusamhita verses. Like that. Yeah, so it's just a matter of that. So if it makes sense and matches, that's the point. That works. But if it doesn't, then that's another. Then you have to decide. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Maharaj, about Prabhu's question and this particular verse that this thing what you just read.
This verse.
No, his question. The thing what you're discussing, we began the lecture with, is that they have developed a scheme of guru, not guru sadhu shastra. The guru writes his shastra. The guru's favorable, you know, people, they are the sadhus now. So it is like a foolproof fooling scheme that what to do about this? And it is no longer Prabhupada's books, it is those certain books. And you are only allowed to hear lectures from those labeled sadhus who are favorable to the guru.
Yeah, but it's just like that. It says here. Etaina, whatever it is, prat yuktaha. It's been refuted for the same reasons. Etaina Acropolis, prat yuktaha. You know, it's whatever you like. You put whatever you need to put in there. It's the same principle. It's that Prabhupada's given this, and so that's what we go with. Because we're interested in Bhagavad Gita as it is, not Bhagavad Gita how we would like it. That's called Shakespeare. Right? You know, he wrote a play like that. You know what I'm saying? So the shastras, and this as it is not a, it's not Prabhupada's coined it into English, but the term in Sanskrit is there. It's used regularly in the scriptures. Because that's the point, is what it actually is. It's about Krishna. So point is if you want to actually develop pure unalloyed devotion for Krishna, then you'll follow what's given here. If you want something else, some variety of material attachment to karma and jnana, you can have it. In fact, you can get that easier than pure devotion. But if you actually want to solve the problem of human life, then you have to stick to what's being given. So it's just a matter of you see that, then you, there's, that's why there's, you know, 10 directions, you know, so many ways you can go, and just avoid that one till you know what I'm saying? So if it's something you can have an influence, you do, and if not, then you don't have to worry about it. Does that make sense?
We already have so many Gaudiya literatures. What is the reason that devotees still go outside?
We have so much literature, why do they go outside? It depends, what do you mean they're going outside for what? They want to learn how to use their computer. Then that's, you go outside for that. In other words, secondary knowledge, you may go outside. But for primary, then there's no need.
But referring to the yoga smritis or the sankhya smritis,
yoga smritis, if they're seeing it in the context of the Gita, where they're talking about how the mind, mechanics of the mind work, and so you show the finer detail that's there in Gita and how the mind works, and you know what Prabhupada is explaining the purports, then that's fine. But if it's that you get attracted by the yoga process, and therefore try to put yoga as the secondary, as the religious process to use, then it starts to take on a different flavor. So, because it's not, my point is it's not about the mechanics, it's about the intent of the mechanics. Means the actual intent, not the spoken intent or the, you know.
Because usually, you know, it's been said that Prabhupada's books contains everything.
They do contain everything. So the point is that, but they also refer to other books to get further detail. But the point is the principle of everything is given in Prabhupada's books. So therefore you can approach anything and make it work. But you have to be able to understand that. But if we're taking everything in Prabhupada's books means the secondary, no, that's why all the 14 books of Vedic knowledge are there. They give all the secondary. But without the paravidya, then you don't know what actually is the purpose of all those other 13 books. So the point is Prabhupada's giving the knowledge by which any other knowledge can be connected to Krishna. So now if there's a necessity for a particular branch of secondary knowledge, then that's all right as long as you approach it with the flavor that Prabhupada gives. But if you come back having the fragrance of, or the attitude of that body of knowledge and not Prabhupada's, then you failed. You've been distracted. But if you can take that and assimilate it into how it's applied without that flavor, then it's fine. Okay, Sutra Prakashika. On the same grounds as the Shankya Smritis, the Sutrakar denies to accept the Yoga Smritis for their defective inference, not in line with the Vedas. Sri Govinda Basya. By refutation of Shankya Smriti, Yoga Smriti is also refuted, since it is similarly contradictory to Vedanta. Right? So that's the point. Is anything that's, so it's not just yoga, it's a principle. Shankya has been defeated on this point. Any other philosophy that has the same problem, then it's already defeated with this, with that, with the, how do you say?
With the defeat of Sankhya.
Yeah, because I was putting it together in one word, the defeatation of Shankya.
Refutation.
No, but refutation, these are just what are commonly used. It's not that the word can't do that. It's just that people don't do it, so people will say it's not a word. But actually, the lexicographers don't work on that principle. They work on what's used, not what people say is a word. Right? If someone uses it, it's a word. You know, whether it's a popular word, whether it's, you know, as long as it matches the grammatical rules, that's the whole point.
So, Maharaj, this two, Sankhya and Yoga are contrary to Vedanta. And what, the other one are not contrary to Vedanta? The
they will be in their own aspects, but they have the problem that their acharya's written something different than what the Veda says.
Yes.
And then they say the Veda should be interpreted according to our scripture, rather than our scripture should be in line with the Veda.
Yes.
So that, if the other schools have that, then that's to be, you know, on that basis, that aspect, that's rejected.
Yes.
But if that's not their approach,
yes,
they don't say that they just do it, but they don't say that this is the way, that, you know, this is the philosophy, then that aspect doesn't need to be done. It's just whatever's wrong is to be rejected. In other words, the wrong element is to be rejected.
Yes.
So in this case, that's a prime there. It's you can say it's for us, it's a problem in the Dasamula Praman, is that they're not accepting Praman, they're accepting their own Praman. So then if that's wrong, then the other Prameyas will all have it, they'll be weak. So unless there is Prameyas that they themselves have Praman in the Vedas, like certain aspects of yoga, like there's, you know, Astanga yoga, that's there in the Vedas, so therefore we don't have a problem with it. We see Prabhupada quotes that, the Acharyas quote that, you know, so it's that works. But other aspects, then there's a problem, like the goal to merge into the Lord and things like that. There's a problem there.
Mm-hmm.
So
we usually say that all the six systems, they do have valid points.
Yes.
And that's why they use.
Right, but only the valid points are used. It's not that, oh, if yoga has some valid points, therefore we use everything from yoga. We only use the ones that actually support the proper conclusion of the Veda.
So we can say that their pramanas are wrong according to our pramana.
No, their pramana is wrong in that they're not basing, in this case, on the Veda itself. It means they're taking one or two points from the Veda, and then based on that, I think the word is extrapolate, where you just keep expanding on things and keep going, you know, that, you know.
And elucidate.
Well, it'd be like, okay, tomatoes are red, so, you know, and that's valuable in Krishna consciousness, you know, tomatoes used for cooking for Krishna, and Ferrari is red, so now I should get myself a Ferrari that will enhance my devotional service.
Extrapolation.
Yeah, so they just keep going with it. It doesn't matter. You know, so then they come up with all kinds of weird things based on red, you know, so then they wear red and, you know, everything they eat has to be red. And, you know, so like that is that it goes into an area that the Vedas don't talk about and it's not important. So it's not based on a principle other than, okay, they're following authority, but the problem is since their authority is not proper, then they will be situated differently. Did you notice the TOVPs on daylight savings?
Oh.
Means it's ringing eight times now.
Yeah, I noticed when it was five, it actually rang six.
Yeah, it started that yesterday.
Daylight savings in India, no?
Huh?
There's no daylight saving in India.
Yeah. Huh? Not from India, that's the point. Is I don't think they noticed that it switched. And then I was thinking, isn't anyone going to notice? That it's, Don't worry, I think, was it next October it'll switch back?
Yeah.
Okay. So, clear on that? Means this is a very important point to understand, because then we can tell what's proper and what's not. Otherwise, people can say anything. That's the thing. So we have to see is from here. Is that, does Prabhupada say that? Is the mood in which he says it, you know? Is it corroborated with this? Because otherwise you can bring in further information, but it still has to have the same flavor. And it's just like you show someone a cooking technique. Now that can be used in a variety of ways, but you have to understand what kind of flavor you're trying to get from it. Otherwise, you can end up with all kinds of weirdo stuff. Does that make sense? So, yeah. By interpreting the Vedanta according to Yoga Smritis, Manu and other Smritis following the Vedas would be useless. Because if theirs is, if you could do it, then Manu and all these other scriptures wouldn't make any sense. Because they'd be not in line with Yoga Smriti. So therefore they would become useless. Because remember the original argument was, if you say that it has to be in line with Vedanta, then the Shankya Smriti becomes useless. You know, so don't make it useless. But they don't mind making everything else useless. So the Yoga Smriti is the same. Therefore, the text should not be explained by Yoga Smritis. That can't be the way that it's explained. Because it may have some actual elements in it, but it'll have things that are not. Because there's no such thing as not having some real element in it. Because you're working with Krishna's, the living entity which belongs to Krishna. They have six inherent qualities. Then you see that they are working with Krishna's material energies according to Krishna's laws. And so there's certain aspects that they'll get correct. But they don't know they're correct. They don't know why they're correct. So just because we find something that matches doesn't mean that everything matches. Because the intent is sense gratification. It's not, or in this case, jnana, and it's not actually pleasing Krishna. Yes?
Is it like that all the text, which doesn't start with glorifying the supremacy of the Lord, are going into a wrong conclusion?
That you have to see, because it just depends. It's not that something can't be used.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like you have, like you say, a computer manual. It has 1,000 functions that the thing can do. You'll only use about 20. So you take those 20, leave the other, you know, 980. Does that make sense? So the whole point is that, because the Yoga Shastra in the second chapter then talks about the position of the Lord and everything like that, his transcendental position and everything. So from that aspect, it's correct. But the problem is when it gets to the seventh chapter, then in Samadhi and all that, they're not talking about that anymore. And then they're talking about merging into the Lord. So here's the problem. What happened to what was said in the second chapter? Does that make sense? So that's why you see we can quote even people who are gross materialists if their point is correct. And it's a well-known quote or it's very well spoken. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. You know, so that works, but we can't, therefore, then, oh, everything's good. You know, like, let's say, somebody helps them on one point. You know, let's say, I don't know, you're talking to the old guy next door, and he gives you some nice pointer on something. But that doesn't mean that now he has something to say about everything. I mean, not that he doesn't have something to say about everything, but whether it's a value. So that discrimination has to be there. You know? Does that make sense? So the sahaja is, oh, but they're chanting also, and there's no rules on chanting and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So then that's where we get distracted. It's because we'll take parts of it, and we'll take what parts would support that, but the parts that don't support it, you know, that's then is not taken as, that's not the part. Oh, it says, what about Lord Chaitanya calls them Pashandis? No, you can't be offensive. And so it's all about them. In other words, you have to interpret our scriptures according to this other mentality. It's the same principle that's been given. So that's what Prabhu was bringing up, is that some may come up with their own philosophy and then they'll expect everything else has to be interpreted that way. Is that? Okay. One cannot say that the Yoga Smritis are not contrary to Veda, for, according to those Smritis, Pradhan is the independent cause of the universe. So right there, their whole philosophical basis will be wrong. It's not that they might not have a few points in between that are okay, but their whole basis of their philosophy is wrong. Is that make sense? You know, it means, it's just like, let's say, what do you call it? You have some of these manufactured, it's wrong. But it's not that it's not using elements that can't be used in a proper way. You know, somebody's put together, you know, some kind of thing that is absolutely useless, but the screws may be of value, so you can take the screws out and use them in something else. Yes.
Is that also the yoga viewpoint, that everything comes from pradhan?
Yeah, you know, that's what he's quoting here. Is that they're saying that pradhan is the cause, the independent cause. We're saying, yes, pradhan is the material cause, but it's not independent. It's dependent upon the efficient cause, which is the Lord. Because it's his potency that makes it work. It's dead matter. Until the Lord glances, pradhan just sits there.
That's a pretty big deviation.
Yes. Yeah. But all these, they have that, they're, where you really see their deviation is at this end point. That's where you see, because other points may be the same. It's like with the impersonal philosophy, up to the point of liberation, what they'll say and what we'll say is the same. Right? But after that, that they'll say is that the goal is that impersonal liberation. And the Lord has no spiritual form, and the souls are they'll say they're not real. I think things like that, that's where you see the major points. That's why they generally start like to talk down and on the point of details, because in there they can find more commonality, or try to use their logic. But when you work on the principal things, that's where you see all these six schools fall apart. So that's why you see when Prabhupada talks, he just goes right up to Krishna's connection there. And so within one or two sentences, he's already, the other person's been defeated. But we'll sit there, they'll present secondary, we'll argue with secondary, and we can go on arguing for hours. But Prabhupada doesn't do that. He goes straight to the primary. And because that's where their philosophy falls apart. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Like, the commonality between the Sankhyas and the Yogas is that pradhan is the cause of the universe. The contrariness is that Yoga Smriti say that God is there in the picture. So the purpose of God is only for the purpose of avideya.
The purpose of God is only that he'll be someone to meditate on to get yourself to the transcendental position. He being transcendental, you meditate on transcendental, you'll get the transcendental.
Okay, so they say that God is independent and pradhan is also independent.
Yeah. So it's, they don't really make the connections there. Because for them it's not necessary. You understand? People make up their philosophy only what's necessary for what they're doing. Does that make sense? So they only take it that far. That's the point. They don't take it these things far enough. They use the elements that are there in the Shastra, but they put them together in their own way. You know, it's just like let's say, I'm trying to think of an appropriate example. Okay, you have something that you are eating, let's say it's a snack food, and you eat it with some variety of kind of condiment, right? Some pickled kind of thing, right? So depending upon, you know, the general people, they'll use a certain balance between, you know, the pickled item and the main food, right? But let's say kids, you know, there's a time in their life where they love sour or other things like that. They use an inordinate amount of the stuff. So it's out of balance. You know, so it's about eating that. It's not so much about... You understand? So that's all it does is they've taken it out of the proportion. Because, so, for them it doesn't matter. Like, does it matter the price of the, you know, the pickle? Or, you know, that's going to make them sick. No, because their point is, their purpose is to eat more pickle. Yeah? Like that. Pickle bodies. Okay. The Lord and the Jiva are mere consciousness. Right? So the actual who's doing things is pradhan, not the Lord or the Jiva. They're just consciousness. They are all pervading. From yoga arises destruction of suffering, and this is called liberation. These are all contrary to Vedic conclusions, because just removing suffering is not liberation. Coming to the transcendental platform is liberation. And actual liberation is the transcendental platform. That is permanent. Because the so-called temporary liberated platform. Whether someone can actually ever get to that point or not is not a reality. You know, they'll say it is, but it doesn't seem to be much happening. As well, things not mentioned in the Vedas are mentioned. According to yoga, pramana is one of the five functions of citta. The five vrittis, fluctuations of citta, according to yoga, are pramana, means of knowledge, air, conceptualization, sleep, and memory. So they put this together in a different order than what would be, you know, they have different aspects than would be there. Because sleep and memory, conceptualization, air, that we would put as part of intelligence. So the Veda actually doesn't support this. They made this as part of consciousness. You know what I'm saying? So there's some connection. But they focused on the connection more than the actual origin of it. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say I do something in a particular... There's a problem to solve. I solve it in a particular way. Now I tell everyone they have to do it in this way, even though there's other ways to do it. Mm-hmm. So that's what yoga is doing. It may have a connection back to the Veda, but how they present it and what they do is different from the Veda. Yeah.
Is it because they put so much importance on material intelligence, so therefore they confuse?
They'll do both. The thing is, because the practicalists, they'll have the material intelligence and also the physical. That's the thing. The Shankya won't have the physical. It's just the material intelligence. So the material intelligence part, that's the common part. But their method, instead of just austerities, they'll do the Ashtanga yoga practice. But is so the problem is within the gyan. So these wherever these show up is that someone takes things, you know, it's like they'll say, you know, A is connected to B is connected to C, so A is connected to C. But if you look, it's not necessarily. Right? Like smoke and fire is connected, but fire and smoke not necessarily. I can have fire with no smoke. But I can't have smoke without fire. So it's a one-way example. It doesn't work in both directions. So that's one of the faults in logic, is that we're taking something that only works one way and trying to apply it in two. Because it works one way, then we take it that it therefore it works. And because I prove it in the one, then a person may accept that it works in the other, even though it doesn't. Right. You know, it's just like I can use my material conditioning, but I can't be attached to it. But if I profess the attachment to it, that's not Vedic. Does that make sense? Okay. These things are found only in the yoga smritis. Therefore, one should not be frightened from the fault of making yoga smriti useless by not using it to interpret Vedanta. So that's why we have to be very, very careful. So otherwise, if we go into this and just take whatever we like, then it may be wrong. Therefore, one should not be frightened at the fault of making yoga smriti useless by not using it to interpret Vedanta, since that smriti contradicts Vedanta. The arguments against Shankya hold good for yoga as well. The real nature of Ishwara and Jiva and the method and goal known through Vedanta will be discussed later. Though postures are mentioned in the Shruti and understanding the supreme caused by Shankya and yoga is mentioned as well in Shruti, these terms refer merely to meditation, yoga, and knowledge, Shankya, that these are used in the process, but not they're saying that the Shankya given by the atheistic Kapila or the yoga system given by Patanjali are the systems. Does that make sense? The Shankya and Yoga philosophies, however, are very different from the Vedic conclusions. One cannot attain liberation by knowledge of the difference between Prakriti and Purusha or by Yoga. They're just finding out the difference. Just because I know the difference doesn't mean, you know, I'm different from that water pot. Now am I liberated? You know, does that make sense? You know, that's the thing, is that one has to understand more than that. Because one has to understand who's in control of this prakriti. Where does the jiva come from? Like that. What's the nature? One attains liberation by knowing the Lord, as in the following statements. Tam eva virit vati mrityum eti. Knowing the Lord, one surpasses death. Sweta Sutara Upanishad. Vigyaya pragyam kuravita. Knowing him, one should meditate. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. Etad yo dhyayati rasati bhajati so mrito bhavati. He who meditates on the Lord, chants his name and worships him, attains immortality. Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Right? So liberation, as Madhvacharya points out, actual liberation is getting established in a relationship with the Lord as a person. That's liberation. These others, they call it liberation, simply means that you're freed from the material contamination, but it's not actually liberation for the living entity. Right? So it can't actually be classified. It's discussed as, because that's how people talk about it. Does that make sense? Is that, you know, just like, let's say, we may use the term political correctness. But it's not that political correctness is actually correct. It's a political system in which whatever I feel then becomes correct. And so the more individuals who agree on this perspective, then it becomes more established as correct. But it's not actually correct. Political, yes, but correct, no. You know? Does that make sense? But real politic, it's not actually either. Because real politic, it's not used, political correctness is not used in their lifestyle. It's used in the politic itself. So when we take political correctness and use it as a lifestyle, then it doesn't actually function as anything. But because people agree with it, then it's used. So we may use the term. So when we're dealing with these six schools, we may use the term liberation and discuss liberation. But actually, liberation only means establishing a relationship with the Lord, a permanent relationship. That's the only liberation. These others, is they call it liberation, but it's not actually. You know, does that make sense? Yeah.
So much by the word we can speak with it a lot. By using different words, different meaning, we can have a lot of tendency to speculate.
Yes, yes. Yes. That's the whole idea, the word also, probably uses the word jugglery. Yes. They take the word and by using a different synonym or breaking it up differently, then they come up with a whole different philosophy than what was intended.
And the common people can follow it.
Yes, and the common people, because common people will follow what someone, if they can make sense out of it, make it look practical, they'll do, because they don't think about these things so much. That's why, you know, in the beginning of the class, to come up with a bogus philosophy is much worse than just following it yourself. Because the common person doesn't necessarily look at things so detailed, so they become easily distracted. However, we do not hate those portions of Shankhya Yoga which are not contrary. Right? In other words, the ones that are in line with the Shastra, we don't have a problem with them. Mm-hmm. But the contrary portions must be rejected. So, if one has that proper knowledge, you can see what's real and what's not. Mm-hmm. So then what's there? But if, you know, unless there's some reason that we need to use it, then why get involved? Right? Why take from them? Right, because Krishna already explains yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. Shankhya has already explained in the Kapila Gita, right? And then the Jnana Yoga, and that's explained in the Bhagavad Gita and in Uddhava Gita. So all these different kinds of yoga are already nicely explained. So technically, we don't have to go beyond that. You know, but if there is some reason, then yes, you can do. But it's only the portions that are not contrary, the points that are contrary. So then if you say, oh, but we say this and they say that, that's the point. Reject that. Mm-hmm. like that. But if it's, you know, we're saying this and they give the Sanskrit name for it or something and the same thing, then that's what's useful. Is that? It seems that Patanjali was a theist, for he says, Ishvara pranidhanad va. One may attain concentration by meditating on God. And klesha karma vipakshayer aparam mrishta purusha vishesha ishvara. There is a special person, the Lord, who is not touched by suffering caused by ripened karma. But they say that he uttered these sutras out of bewilderment. Right, so that his own followers, now the things that are in line with the Veda, they'll say he said those out of bewilderment. So then, now how do you take these guys seriously? You know, they say, no, you have to interpret the whole Veda, but now he said this is out of bewilderment. Like I remember talking, there's a book, I don't remember the name, it's a book by Shankaracharya just on Radha and Krishna. And glorifying their position, who they are, the transcendental, and everything like that. In other words, totally contradicting everything he's taught. Absolutely. And I remember somehow or another, I don't know how, it was brought up to a Mayavadi. I don't mean just, you know, off the street Mayavadi. I mean like, Kanchipuram, you know, the Shankara, their Mayavadi. And, So he said, yes, he did write this book. But then he was saying, we have absolutely no reason, no understanding why he would write this book. Because I think we were asking about, do they have the book? Could we get the book? He says, we've heard of it. We know he's written this book, but we would have no understanding. Why would he write this book? And that was the end of the conversation. So. Yeah, so in the same way, then they think they get bewildered. Yes, that's it.
Achyutashtakam.
That's the name of that one with Radha and Krishna?
Yeah. No. It's Rashtakam.
No, but there's one. It's a book. It's more than eight verses.
No, he's saying that what I said just now, Bhajagovinda Murmati.
It's from Achyutashtakam.
No, that's a different thing.
That's a different thing. So you're saying there's more things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jagannathashtakam.
Some say that he established the worship at Puri.
Yeah.
How it's going on. He established.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like that, there are cracks in there.
The
Padati, okay.
Yeah.
So we can see this underlying. Gotama and others also, bewildered, produce theories contrary to Vedanta. These theories will be refuted. Bewilderment of such intelligent men should be understood to be the Lord's Maya, who became angry at their pride and their knowledge, or the Lord's will for his own purpose. Since yoga is theistic and thus different from Shankya, a new section, Adhikarna, has been started to refute that philosophy separately. Right? So in other words, up to now, it's refuted based on those things that are not connected with the Veda. Right? Because the atheistic aspects of it. Now, because it has theistic, now then we'll have to defeat those parts. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So anything that goes in there where that's contradicted, that's already been removed. Now what we're left with, now that'll be dealt with. Mm-hmm. Yoga Smriti made by Hiranyagarbha, Brahma, is also rejected for the same reasons. Footnote 6. Before Patanjali, Hiranyagarbha taught yoga. Because these things, it's always going on. These six schools are always happening. It's just who happens to be teaching them at the time. So the impersonal philosophy, it wasn't established by Shankaracharya. He just used it. Because if he's going to bring Buddhists into the fold, he has to use Buddhist philosophy. The closest thing is what they're talking. It's impersonal. And so therefore he'll take that and then interpret so that he comes up with his own idea. But because they have Brahman, that you have Nirvishesh, which is just an emptiness. Here you have a emptiness of light. You know, and like that. Does that make sense? And since it's popular light things, so therefore he went with that rather than the more heavy. You know, yes.
Maharaj,
does
the Hiranyagarbha Yoga Sutras, just like Lord Kapila's Sankhya, this is mentioned in the Mahabharata.
Oh, okay.
As the authentic one. So,
it may be authentic in the way of
the Yoga Sutras itself.
Means there may be aspects within it that are explaining that, but then they'll have their conclusion. Just like here, another example is the 14 books of Vedic knowledge, and logic is one of them. So it's a Vedic process. But now in that, so how logic works, you know, how the you present it, the different techniques that are there to do, how you, the process you go through. That's a standard Vedic thing. So now Gotama took that, documented it very nicely. But then, on top of that, he makes a philosophy. That's where it gets bogus. But the logic itself is not. Just like the Astanga Yoga system, the Yama, Niyama, you know, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, that's not bogus. But the goal that he wants to get from that, and the process that he uses on understanding the creation and the living entity and God and the process and goal, that then has, you know, defects. So it's not that the mechanics of yoga are necessarily wrong, but why they're using it. You know, it's just like, you know, we're saying the non-devotee cook, it's not that the technique of cooking that he's using is wrong, but his whole purpose in using it is wrong. Right? So therefore, in that way, we'll say the whole process is bogus. Right? Because the conclusion is the actual purpose in doing things. You know? So that's there. So there are some of the mechanics. That's what we say. However, we do not hate those portions of Shankhya Yoga which are not contrary. So the mechanical aspects that are not, but their primary, which they don't really properly have, that's rejected. But here, then yoga in the primary has the aspect of worshiping the Lord. But actually we can see from that is that they make it a secondary because they at the end they don't maintain the goal of attaining the Lord. So it's not the ultimate goal, it's a method to use. So it just becomes part of their process, it becomes a tool. You know, a religious process, it's not an actual ultimate goal. Does that make sense? So this is then where you have to distinguish, just like you take wheat and grind it up into flour, right? Now, you have the thing, you can use the whole thing. But we'll find that there's problems with that. But now if you put it through the sifter and then use what's left, now it works very nice. Does that make sense? So you have to know what is there or not. That's why we depend on the acharyas. The acharyas, nana shastra vichara naika nipanosa sadharma samstapako. They've gone through all the scriptures to establish sadharma. So that's the whole point. So it's that if it's connected to Krishna, it's liberation. It's not connected to Krishna, it's not liberation. It's that simple. So that they brought out.
One more interesting thing I found out is, just like with Lord Kapila, similarly there are, by name Patanjali also, there are more than one personality.
Because they'll always, because the point is he's, it's known for him, just like Gotama, I'm sure there's been more than one Gotama. Like that. But it's always that they end up in that position. They talk the same thing, so. Does that make sense?
It's like a post.
A post, yeah. It's like a post. It's just who's going to do it. You know, it's just like every time it comes around, somebody has to come up with the, you know, the that logic. You know, so therefore, then Gotama does it. You know? It's like Brahma. It's a post. You know, it's just whoever's qualified does it. Now there'll be some flavor difference. So you see in the pastime and how they unfold it, but basically in principle it'll be the same because it's revealed by the modes of nature. So they're just following the modes of nature.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a drama.
Yes, like a drama. It's like a drama, yeah. You know, so there'll be a little bit, you know, difference in interpretation. Yeah. But the post is the same. Yeah. So so all the things that we think are just happening naturally, spontaneously, most of them are all posts anyway. You know, does that make sense? You know, this time they'll be Grateful Dead, next time they'll be called the Ungrateful Zombies or something. You know, it's just, it's the same mode combination of modes of nature. It's not going to. Sorry?
Only three.
Leaders
may
need two. Yes. Yeah, you can get. So that's the thing. You can always. These things are going to be there, so that that experience can be gained by the living entity, because that's how you get the 8,400,000 species of life, is by a specific combination of the modes. So therefore, you have to have things that go with that modes, right? You know, they have the lifestyle, like a donkey. They love music and poetry. But nobody else thinks of it that way. We say it's noise. Right? Isn't it? You know, so that's the whole thing. Is, you know, whatever the teenagers say is music, then the adults say is noise. So it's the same principle. You know, otherwise, how do you get donkey? Right?
So this Hiranyagarbha Yoga, there is a wrong conclusion in it?
He says the yoga smriti made by Hiranyagarbha Brahma is also rejected for the same reasons. Right? So it'll have it's not properly connected to the Veda. It's not that it doesn't have portions that aren't appropriate, but its conclusions are wrong. So that's why one has, in other words, Vedanta is there. Now if it's in line with that and gives a further detail that we can appreciate, then that's nice. But if it gives a different presentation, that then we don't bother with that. You know, it's like someone could say here. Someone could say that, no, but here the Yoga Shastra says Chitta has these things. We say this says this, so which is right? No, we just take Vedanta. Right? Because that's Vyasadeva. Why we wouldn't take it? And he goes and he shows us why not. If you want to know why not, read Vedanta Sutra. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is we'll take that. Now, if in something we say, they show some finer divisions of that, that's fine. But what we'll generally see is our acharyas have already given those finer points. It's just a matter of putting them together. So, Bhagavatam verse reference. Comment to Adikarnas 1 and 2. Srimad Bhagavatam 1087:25. Supposed authorities who declare that matter is the origin of existence, that the permanent qualities of the soul can be destroyed, and that the self is compounded of separate aspects of spirit and matter, or that material transactions constitute reality. All such authorities base their teachings on mistaken ideas that hide the truth. The dualistic conception that the living entity is produced from the three modes of nature is simply a product of ignorance. Such a conception has no real basis in you. For you are transcendental to all illusion, always enjoy perfect, total awareness. Right? So, it's saying this, so then whoever does that, it applies to them, and whoever doesn't, then it doesn't apply. Footnote 7. The BBT purports and analyzes the error in the conclusions drawn by the six schools of philosophies over Vedanta. The true position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a sublime mystery. It is also the dependent position of the jiva soul. Most thinkers are mistaken in one way or another about these truths, since there are countless varieties of false designation that can cover the soul and create illusion. Foolish conditioned souls submit to obvious delusions. But the illusory power of Maya can easily subvert the intelligence of even the most sophisticated philosophers. And mystics. So foolish may submit to obvious delusions, but then we see is that those who are very intelligent, you know, with very sophisticated philosophies, they get lost in that sophistication and get distracted there. Right? So they'll think themselves better than the common person who get distracted by something that's very obvious. Right? Thus, there are always divergent schools of thought propounding conflicting theories concerning basic principles of truth. In traditional Indian philosophy, the followers of Vaisheshika, Nyaya, Shankya, Yoga, and Mimamsa philosophies all have their own erroneous ideas, which the personified Vedas point out in this prayer. The Vaisheshikas say that the visible universe is created from the original stock of atoms, Janim Asataha. As Kanada Rishi's Vaisheshika Sutras 7.1.20 state, Nityam Parimandalam, that which is of the smallest size, the atom, is eternal. Kanada and his followers also postulate eternality for other non-atomic entities, including the souls who become embodied and even the supreme soul. But in Vaisheshika cosmology, the souls and the supersoul play only token roles in the atomic production of the universe. Right? So that the atoms are eternal, the soul is eternal, the Lord's eternal, then that's a standard philosophy. But then that the all these things, what's going on in the transformations being done by the Lord and the desire of the living entity, that they're not attributing. They're attributing that to the atoms themselves. Yes.
Kanada and Vaisheshika, they become the same philosophy?
It appears so.
Kanada Muni is the...
Well, Kanada is the... Is the person. And the philosophy is called... Yeah, just like Shankara and Mayavad.
Yeah,
Gautama and Nyaya. Yeah, Gautama and Nyaya. Okay. I don't know that the atom is God. You have God as God mentioned here, that he's, you know, eternal. But the point is that the atoms are independent in that they, the creation or that themselves. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like in Shankya or that, they'll say is that material energy is the cause. Like that. So
they say that the atoms begin to interact with each other because the karmas of the jivatma are present in the atom.
The karmas of the jivatma are present in the atom. You mean before the jivatma has performed it?
Speaking of the philosophy, that is...
Yes. But I'm saying before they performed it means it's inherent, or means the soul, by associating with the atoms, then that karma becomes permeates the atoms that they work with, and therefore the karma manifests. He comes in contact, but the karma is coming from the jiva's karma is coming from the atom.
The karma comes from the jiva.
Okay, but
they
the
say that karma is in the atom, which is wrong philosophy.
Okay, let's start again. So the karma is inherent in the atom.
Yes.
Okay, that's their philosophy.
That's the
philosophy. Okay, that's what that is. Okay.
How can karma be inside an atom?
No. You want something else in there, like a caramel or something? Or?
Karma is born out of a conscious being.
That's a cancer, no?
Yeah,
before it was a gallon. Cancer. Getting the variety. Sorry?
Karma is born out of a conscious being, like Jivatma's interactions with the material energy, and how can it be inside the atom? It doesn't have consciousness.
No, we're not discussing that. We're discussing that their philosophy is bogus, so that they come up with these things.
Yeah.
Means we will get to that. So that's the whole point is that they come up with these...
Crazy.
They have an idea of what they want as a goal. Then they try to take everything else and stuff it into their philosophy so it works. So to do that, they have to come up with some really weird things. Does that make sense? So that's just, we have a conclusion we want, therefore then... So, you know, as I say... Yeah, so it's like a, what do you call it? What's the mind? I think it's a Tenali Ram story. That I think the king, I'm not sure what it was, but there was a pond, you know, a pukur, you know, there on the grounds. And it must have been winter, and so it was super, super cold. You know, colder than normal. And somehow or another, how it came up, then the king said that, you know, no one would be able to, you know, spend any time. It's so cold. And then somehow or another it comes around to, if anybody can spend the night in the water up to their neck, then they'll get this much gold or something like that. So then the, what do you call it? the you know, the word gets out, and one really, really poor Brahmin who really needs the money, then he comes and he stands in the pukkara overnight, and then that. Then in the morning when they see he's there and all, then, you know, he's followed. But then I think it was maybe the queen or something pointed out, no, that at some little bit of a distance there was a lamp burning. And so by meditating on that, he kept himself warm, so he was cheating, so that he didn't get the money. So then he went to He went to Tenali Ram and said, what am I supposed to do? I stood there overnight, almost kill yourself, freezing to death, and now you don't get the money, because how is that possible? So Tenali said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. So then he arranged to invite the king and his, you know, and the ministers over to his house for lunch. And they all come over for lunch. And, you know, he says, you know, at this time they all come and all that, and sits them down, you know, gives them some water and all that. And then they're there, you know, and sit chit-chat, and then after some time they go, it's getting, you know, it's not past the time, when it's like, it's almost ready, almost, just a little bit more time. And that. And then it keeps going until it becomes, he keeps saying this, and, you know, until it becomes absolutely ridiculous that the time is like hours past. So the king just marches into the kitchen to see what's going on. And he sees that there's a fire, you know, being nicely tended, all that. And on this pole about 10 feet in the air, there's the pot and what he's cooking in. You know? And the king looks at him and says, what are you doing? This is insane. I said, I'm cooking lunch. Like that. He says, you're not cooking. It's impossible. Says, the pot's up there. The fire's down here. How can this fire heat that pot? He says, and then Tenali Ram says, but if a little, it means this is a big fire and that's a little pot. But now we're saying, now you accepted the principle that a little flame at a much greater distance than this is keeping this big Brahmin warm in the thing. Another thing, oh, okay. And they gave the Brahmin his gold like that. You know. Yeah. So like that, you just take something and then you try to adjust everything to make it fit when it doesn't. So that's the problem, as you see, is someone will come up with something and it fits in certain ways that have been a weakness. Like, let's say, there's a theory or some practice and it works for, let's say, 75% of whatever's there. But 25% doesn't work. So people have gotten over the initial euphoria of that 75% working, and they're starting to really notice to annoyance the 25% that doesn't work. So now someone else comes up and solves the problem that 25%, and it works to some degree in the other. So now it'll work in that 25% that was missing, 50% of the 75 that worked before. And now, because that 25 is now working, people are focused on that, so they're very happy. But still 25% doesn't work. Right? And so that'll go for a while, and after a while people start to notice, then people start to make comments, then it's on talk shows, and people start writing journals, and then someone comes up with a new thing that solves that 25%. In a sense, so it just keeps moving around, which 25% doesn't work. You understand? So all they do is they take their philosophy and try to apply it 100% when it doesn't. And so then they have to make up things to make it work. So that's the difficulty.
Just like in Mahabharata, Narada Muni mentioned that a Muni is not a Muni unless he differs from...
Differs from the others, yes. At least we can follow Narad Muni, because his Muniness is actually pure devotional service. Mm-hmm. Like that. And other Munis we may. Yeah, but Vyasa Muni is in Narad Muni's line, so that way he differs from the other schools. So. Oh. Okay, and here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Veta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Nityananda Gaura Prabhupada ki.